Like the same thing that happened in Iran during the time of Imam Khomeini and also the leader of the Islamic Revolution, who have safeguarded the line of Imam Khomeini and revolution. What Imam Khomeini sought is now being carried out by Imam Khamenei. Today, the global developments are at odds with the interests of the US. On the contrary, they are in favor of the resistance and the nations who want to play a role. We are on a historic path. What happened in Tunisia is continuing in Bahrain, Libya, Yemen, etc. If nations insist, and if Iran, Syria, Egypt, and Turkey are united, we will be able to change the world order. Your Excellency, Imam Khamenei, and these great revolutions will play a key role in drawing up a plan for the future. Now, what is taking place in the world is of Islamic nature, and God willing, Israel, which in Imam Khomeini's words is a cancerous tumor, will one day be destroyed.
You are congregating today under the title of unity. Unity among Muslims and in the Islamic world. Unity is definitely the key issue. Most of the problems of the Muslims will be solved if they manage to become truly united. And we should all try to bring hearts closer, not only words. When hearts get close enough, our hands and actions will also become closer. Today is a historic moment for the Islamic world. We should understand this moment and we shouldn't neglect it. We have never witnessed such a situation in the Islamic world. By saying at this point, I don't mean that the Islamic world has been silent and indifferent during the past 30 years. I believe and I think the reality is that during all these years, the movement by scholars and reformists and the sacrifice bloods, teachings of the thinkers, and finally, Iran's Islamic Revolution has affected the Muslim world. It changed hearts and showed the right direction, and motives developed and emerged in this opportunity. This is a crucial moment. It can solve issues of the Islamic world, but it can also create more problems if we fail to realize the importance of this moment and make the best use of it. Millions of people are out on the streets. This is unprecedented. It was the same move that saved Iran. This movement could not have been effective if political parties, blocs, and politicians were playing the main role. Participation of millions of people has an effect that is incomparable with anything else. However, it's their faith that is taking them out. First, people should come. Second, they should remain there until victory. And third, they should safeguard the victory. These need religious and Islamic faith. The great French Revolution was mentioned here. The French Revolution was a people's victory, but that victory did not last long. The French Revolution took place in 1789. 11 years later, in 1800, the monarchy was formed again. Napoleon came to power. Then Napoleon passed away. The same family that was ousted by the revolution came to power. It took years. Different kings ruled the country until 1860. Therefore, the revolution was carried out by the people, but they couldn't save it. We could save this revolution thanks to our faith, thanks to Islam, thanks to the blowing of the spirit of Quran in people and their hearts. That is how the continuation of such movements are guaranteed. Today, people are at the forefront in Egypt, Tunisia, and some other countries. This must be directed. Enemies are trying to portray this as non-Islamic. This is wrong. It is definitely Islam. We can see this in Egypt's past. The movement by the Egyptian people today show the same thing. The slogans and the presence of people in Friday prayers prove this. Therefore, it is definitely Islamic, although the enemies are trying to prevent this Islamic movement from consolidating. This has to be reinforced. The U.S. is the core problem in the Muslim world. The presence of the oppressing and colonial powers in the Muslim world has always dealt the heaviest blow to the Islamic identity of the people. This is visible from East Asia, from Indonesia, Malaysia, and India to Africa. It has always been the presence of the colonial power that has weakened nations and sucked their bloods and weakened their determination. Today, that oppressing and colonial power is the U.S. Other countries are marginal. The U.S. presence is the main problem. It's the main misery of the Islamic world. This must be ended. The U.S. must be kept away and should be weakened. Fortunately, it has been weakened. The U.S. today is not what it was 20 or 30 years ago. It has extremely weakened. This should sustain. We should not be disappointed. What happened in early Islam is our model. I don't want to claim that all happenings today are like early Islam. No, the world has changed. Motives and forms have changed. But the early Islam is an artistic and complicated painting that portrays different sections of the life of the Islamic Ummah from the beginning till the end. We can compare these sections with our own life. There are two types of people in dealing with the enemies. Some people are frightened when they see the hegemony of the U.S., its military might, its diplomatic power, its propaganda power and its money. They say we can't do anything. Why should we waste our power when we can't do anything? We have the same type of people now and also during the revolution. We had people who said, why are we bothering ourselves this much? Be satisfied with a minimum and put an end to it. In the past 30 years or more, God has treated us with as much goodwill as we have towards Him. We had many problems, but we emerged triumphant from all of them. Economic isolation is no small thing, but we put this isolation under our feet. Only recently they told us they would no longer sell us gasoline. We are an oil-rich country, but we import gasoline. And they tell us they will not sell us gasoline anymore. This is just one example among hundreds. Our forces came trusting in God. Because of this, in less than a year, we managed to become independent of gasoline imports. We achieved this. They imposed war on us, 8 years of war. They put us up against an extremely evil enemy like Saddam Hussein, and they supported him wholeheartedly. Thank God we managed to weather the storm. With faith in God, we were able to advance in every arena. In the field of science, we have also moved forward. They have mentioned our nuclear program. We have succeeded in solving the nuclear issue and have pressed forward. And today, the West continues to debate the issue, but they've fallen far behind. They insult us, spread propaganda, pile on the pressure, but they can do nothing. Time is on our side. We are steadily moving forward, and they are distressed by this. They kick up a fuss. That's what happens when you go forward by putting faith in God. These youths that study nuclear science, they came to me 2 years ago and insisted on seeing me. They set up an exhibition right here so that I might observe their activities close up. They are all young men of faith. Some say scientists mustn't be men of faith. Religion must be ignored. What I saw refuted that claim. All of them are religious youths, full of enthusiasm and sincerity. This is how it is in various sectors in our country. This experience is there for the world of Islam to see. Of course, the people of Egypt and other countries are, thank God, brimming with Islamic ideologies. We are familiar with the Islamic ideologies that were common in Egypt down the ages. It was in Friday prayers that I said that Egypt was the first country to familiarize itself with the Western culture. Napoleon brought Western culture to Egypt, and it was the Egyptian society that first recognized and experienced the flaws of this culture. Sheikh Muhammad Abdu, Sayyid Jamal, and others were based in Egypt. They were the first to experience Western culture firsthand and to fight it. And after that, thank God, we see Islamic thinking in Egypt and many Western countries. Islam has been beneficial to all. Today, these people are active. There must be a conscious effort to prevent the enemy from putting obstacles in the Egyptian people's way, from pushing the people's movement off course, from facilitating the continuation of the regime of the pharaohs in Egypt, which could then spread elsewhere. We must be on our guard. This is the responsibility of the Egyptian people and the Muslim world at large. They are no different. There must be no difference between nations. The first manifestation of Islamic unity must be empathy between nations, so that when one nation is happy, the rest are happy. And when one nation is downcast, the rest are also. When one is in trouble, the rest consider themselves a partner in the struggle. When one asks for help, others rush to the rescue. This is our duty, and this is how we will go forward. We accept this holy duty, and without doubt, God will assist the faithful. We must appreciate gatherings such as this. This closeness of hearts is very precious. The enemy wants to take full advantage of the issue of Shia and Sunni and the disputes between the Shia and the Sunni. The enemies of Islam, those who speak of discord between Shia and Sunni, have no respect for either or any respect for the greats of Islam, of Islamic scholars. They have other intentions. We must overcome all this and solidify our unity. And God willing, unity will guarantee the success of the world of Islam. Oh.